Good morning again. Well, we've been in this series for the past several weeks on our extraordinary God uses ordinary people. And we've been looking at different individuals in Scripture and how God takes ordinary men and women and uses them for His glory and does extraordinary amounts of activities and accomplishments through their lives. And He wants to do that for us. And we're going to be talking about that today, and we're going to be looking at a man who literally stood out in a crowd. His name was Jabez, or Jabez. You know him probably better by the name of Jabez, but Jabez was a man who in the first nine chapters of 1 Chronicles, you'll find some 600 names, and you have the genealogies listed there. But right in the middle of those names, those genealogies, there are two verses that talk about one man named Jabez. And he's kind of like an oak tree standing out in a forest of bonsai. You just really can't miss Jabez. He's there. And those two verses of the Bible are the only ones that talk about him in the entire Bible. But he gets those two verses, whereas those other 600 people don't get anything said about them. Why? What was so special about Jabez? What made him above the ordinary? What kind of extraordinary things did God do through his life? Why did God single him out? You know, when God singles somebody out, you know they have to have done something significant, must have happened in their lives. What did he do that caused him to be preserved for posterity? And 4,000 years later, here in southeast Tennessee, we're talking about this man, Jabez. And what was so unique about him? Well, there is a thumbnail sketch about him, just two verses, where we learn three secrets about the life of a man named Jabez. Three secrets, when applied to our lives, God can use us in extraordinary ways just like him. And by the way, we've been looking at God's Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. Jabez is not mentioned there, but he gets honorable mention here in 1 Chronicles. And you know, that'd be great just to get honorable mention from God. And so we're going to look at that. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. Jabez was honorable more than his brothers. And so God says that he was an honorable man. He deserves honorable mention. Out of all those 600 names, he gets credit. And the verses go on. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." And Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And then that last phrase there, "and God granted his request." Now that's all there is about this man in the Bible. He prayed a prayer. But this prayer gives us a lot of insight about his life. How can we today live in an extraordinary way like this man did? Three things we learn from his life. The first thing that we learn from Jabez is that he knew how to think in extraordinary ways. While his friends were just ordinary and they were satisfied with that, Jabez said, "Lord, I want you to do something significant in my life. I want you to bless me, Lord. I want you to enlarge my territory." He's saying he didn't want to be ordinary. He wanted to expand. He wanted to grow. He wanted his territory to be enlarged. "Make something, Lord, about me that is above the ordinary, that is unusual." And he wanted something special and great. Most of all, he wanted God's blessing most deeply in his life. And many people, so many times, We're just drifting through life and we really have no desires and we really just don't know where we're going and, And so many times people float around in a crowd. But Jabez said, God, I don't want to be that way. I want you to enlarge my territory. I want you to stretch me, God. I want you to do something you've never done before. And God, would you do it in my life? So something we learn from Jabez is that as long as your horizons are expanding, as long as you're facing new challenges and you're believing God for greater things and you're growing and you're stretching and you're facing new challenges, then you are thinking in extraordinary ways. And you know what? If you're really not facing a challenge right now, you need to get one. You need to find one. The whole essence of life is solving problems. If you've got a problem, as soon as that problem is solved, you need to go on to another problem, because problems are just opportunities that God wants to grow us and help us be all that He created us to be. If you've never had a problem, if you're not going through a problem right now, you just need to check your pulse, because that's the thing that keeps us alive and keeps us moving forward. Living means that you have problems and challenges. Now, there are three misunderstandings that keep us from thinking this way and praying the kind of prayer that Jabez prayed. The first thing that happens to us is that we confuse humility with fear. And we say, well, I couldn't do that. I'm afraid that if I tried to do that, I might fail. I'm just little old me. And you know what? We think that's being humble. But that's not being humble. That's being fearful. It's a lack of faith. Humility says this: it's God who does it through me. This can be done, and God can do this. I can do this with God's help, with Christ, in Christ, with the strength of Christ. I can do all things, and God will bless me. If God will bless me, then I can do it. You know, people sometimes wonder, well, I just really am afraid that if I get too big of a dream, if I get too big and I step out there in faith for God and I try to do some things for God and that He can be blessed and honored and His name lifted up in my life, I'm afraid that people, that God's going to judge me for pride in my life. I might just get full of pride. Well, you know what? That's a legitimate worry. And if you haven't thought about that, you need to think about that, because God judges pride. God judges pride harsher than almost any other sin in the Bible. He judges it very quickly. But you know what? You and I don't really have to worry about God humbling us. As you have lived your Christian life, have you found that it's pretty easy for God to humble you? I found that, you know, when I get to feeling like I'm too big for my britches and I feel like I've got it all together and things are just going good and I'm right where I need to be for the Lord, I've got it all together, I'm right. You know, I find that I make the stupidest mistakes sometimes, and God just lets me fall flat on my face. He humbles me. God has 1,000 different ways to humble us. But what is harder for God, it's easy for God to humble us. You know, we're human beings. It's just real easy for Him to do that. But what's harder for God is to get us to trust Him, 100%. Why? Because God, a God-given dream, doesn't mean that you're immune from mistakes. God knows that, and He wants you to trust Him. And so don't confuse humility with fear. The second thing that happens to us when we begin to think extraordinary ways for God, we tend to confuse satisfaction with laziness. In other words, Philippians 4:12, Paul said, I've learned to be content in every situation. Now, some people will read that and think, well, what I need to do is just become satisfied with what I have. And that is not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, don't strive to improve yourself or be better or have no desires for tomorrow. Paul is saying that he's learned to be fully satisfied and enjoy today while he is moving toward that goal that God has for him, those dreams that God has placed in his life. He's learned to be content today and joy today while he's working toward those goals. If everybody used satisfaction as an excuse, what would get done in the world? Who would take care of world hunger? Who would share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the uttermost parts of the earth? Who would go out and take care of all of those social injustices. Well, I'm content, too bad about them. Who would ever grow spiritually? Who would ever grow physically? Who would ever grow intellectually? Who'd ever get an education if everybody said, well, I'm just satisfied with the way I am? Suppose you're a preschooler, and some of you might have to think back a few more years about a preschooler, your child when they were a preschooler. Suppose they came home and they said, well, Dad, I've learned it all. I don't need to go to the first grade. I've just got everything that I need to know. I've learned to be content with building blocks. Who needs to learn math and spelling? You know, so don't confuse satisfaction with laziness. The third thing is we tend to confuse little ambition with spirituality. Some people use God as an excuse. Well, don't blame God. Don't blame God when you don't want to follow Him and do what He has created you to do. Don't blame God and say, well, I'm just going to stop serving God. I'm just little old me. I can't do anything for the Lord. Don't blame the Lord. And some people will say, well, I'm just the way the Lord made me. Well, you know, we make ourselves by a lot of our own choices. Did you know that Satan is our enemy? Satan is our enemy. And Satan wants to mess up your life. And Satan wants you to think in ordinary ways. Now, Jabez is an example of the power of trusting God. Great men and great women are simply ordinary people with great thoughts about God and what God wants them to do. If you want to be like Jabez, you need to say, Lord, enlarge my territory. Lord, bless me. Is that a legitimate request? I believe it is. Because God said, I will grant your request. The second thing that we see in Jabez's life, if you want to live an extraordinary life, you need to build an extraordinary faith. It's interesting that in these two verses, we notice a couple of things about this man, Jabez. In the first place, there is no mention of any special ability that Jabez has. There's no talent mentioned, no gift. It doesn't even say if he was educated. It doesn't say he was wealthy. It doesn't say that he had any unusual abilities. Jabez was just an ordinary man with an extraordinary faith in God, and God will use people like that. There's something more important than education. Did you know that? There is something more important than education. Something more important than gifts and talents and abilities and all of those kinds of things in your background. The thing that is more important is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That believing that God can work in your life. All kinds of sometimes you might have known a lot of super talented people. I know about a lot of super talented people that are just sitting on the sidelines while people with minimal talents are getting the job done because they believe God. And it's not talent. It's about our faith in God. If you've got faith, you don't have to worry about what you don't have. And evidently, Jabez had some kind of a disability. Evidently, Jabez had a handicap of some kind. We're not really sure that he did. We're not really sure what it was. But his name in Hebrew means painful. How'd you like to have that name? Hey, painful, come here. You know, his mother named him Painful. She was saying that kid is a pain. He was rejected in that sense. His name was a constant reminder that even his mother regretted his birth. Now, that in itself would be a handicap in life. But Jabez's faith was stronger than his handicap. He would not let what somebody else had labeled him interfere with God's plan for his life. Now, who's labeled you? Are you letting people get away with it and keep you from God's plan for your life? Maybe they've labeled you and said, well, she's shy, or he can't talk, or he's always been the nervous type, or she's always had a temper, or on and on and on. Have you ever let somebody label you. Maybe when you were growing up, maybe it was a family member, maybe it was either your mother or your father that said, you're never going to be anything significant, and I'm always going to be ashamed of you. Maybe that something like that was said to you as you were growing up, and you let that person label you. Maybe it was a close friend. Somebody labeled your life and put a limitation on your life that God never intended to be there. It's kept you from living in an extraordinary way. What would you say your handicap is this morning? For some of you, maybe it's a physical handicap. For others, it may be a spiritual handicap. For others, it might be an emotional handicap. You think, well, I've got this hang-up, and God could never use me. But the truth is that God delights in using ordinary, average people. What is your handicap? Maybe it's a problem. Maybe you had an unhappy childhood like Jabez. I'm pretty sure he had an unhappy childhood, being called painful all the time. And you got scarred as a child. Maybe it's you've grown up and maybe it's a frustrating job that's kept you back. Maybe it's an unhappy marriage situation and you're just using it as an excuse. Now, we've said this before, but there are three types of people in the world. Excusers, accusers, and choosers. Excusers are people that make an excuse for everything. Accusers are people who blame everybody else. It's all their fault. If I had a better environment or if I had more of a chance, and they just blaming others. But choosers are people who make it in life. They choose to believe God. Through Him, I can do all things through Christ. And that is what made Jabez's life great. He said, God, would you bless me? Would you enlarge my territory? God, I believe you'll do that. He was a man who thought in extraordinary ways. Jabez was also a man who was always building his faith and trusting the Lord Jesus. Then there's a third thing we see in Jabez's life, and you've probably read books on this, at least one book about this, but this, he had an extraordinary prayer life. If you're going to live an extraordinary life, you must have an extraordinary and develop an extraordinary prayer life. It needs to be genuine. And Jabez was honored by God simply because he prayed. And Jabez prayed a secret prayer. But two verses are recorded for us, and because of the simple prayer, he achieved greatness. And his prayer was the key to his extraordinary life. And as we look at his prayer, we notice that Jabez made three requests. Three requests made him live in this extraordinary way. And if you want your prayers answered, you can pray these prayers. You know that this is a legitimate prayer because this is a prayer that is recorded in the Bible, and it is a prayer that God says, I granted this request. So you know this is a prayer that God will honor. It says God granted his request, valid request, to live in an extraordinary way, develop an extraordinary prayer life. First thing about Jabez's prayer life in this prayer says that Jabez prayed and asked God to strengthen his life, to strengthen him. He said, bless me. And basically what Jabez was saying, God, I need your power in my life. If I'm going to live in an extraordinary way, I can't do it on my own weakness. I really have no strengths when it comes to that. And God, would you just give me your strength to accomplish your will in my life? Jabez couldn't do it on his own. But Jabez, not only that, he's very specific. He says, I want you to give me more real estate. Now, some people take this symbolically, and that's all right if you take this symbolically. You can use it to say, well, you know, maybe he's talking about more influence, and I think that definitely Jabez had influence on us. He's got influence on us today. But I take this literally. I take the Bible, unless the Bible says this is figurative, then we need to take it literally. And he's saying, I want more real estate. But the point is, he was specific in his prayer. And I want to ask you the question, are you specific in your prayers? Or do you just pray in a general way? Do you talk to the Lord about your job? Do you talk to the Lord about your business? Do you talk to the Lord about your home, about your relationships in your family, God bless my home. God help me in my home. Help me to be a stronger influence in my home, to be committed to you, and so that my family members can see me as I live for you, that I'm committed to you 100%. Help me, God, to be a greater, stronger, more committed person. Are you that specific in your prayers? Jabez was. He said, God, I want you to enlarge my territory. He's very specific. Now, the first time you read this, and it's still kind of in the back of my mind, it's kind of like, it seems to be like a selfish prayer. But then you read, God granted this request. God approved of it because he answered it, and he said yes to Jabez. Now, some people say, well, ambition is a bad thing. Well, really, ambition by itself is neither good nor bad. Ambition is morally neutral. What makes the difference, now listen, what makes the difference behind ambition is the motive behind that ambition that you may or may not have. Why do you want what you want? Why do you pray for what you pray for? Evidently, Jabez's motive was exactly right. The difference is determined by your motive. Ambition is just a basic drive that God gives to people. God never honors an unworthy motive. And Pastor, where does the Bible say that? Well, James chapter 4. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask with wrong motives. They are selfish motives. But Jabez's motives were sincere. Now, what do we learn from this? God dares to ask him, or Jabez dares to ask him for a great request. And God says, I want to grant a great request to you, Jabez. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, God says that to us. He says, I'm able to do more than you think or imagine. God kind of gives us a little challenge. God kind of says, I want to use your mind. I want to direct your mind. And I want to help you in your thoughts and the things that you think about and the challenges that I want to put into your life so that I can get the glory for these things. And I want you to dream those things and try to begin. You will never attain to the thoughts of God. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. But our God wants us to have the mind of Christ. He wants us to have the attitude of Christ. And he wants to help us in this area to get our thoughts up higher. And he says, think of the greatest way that I could bless your life. And God says, I will top that, and that's something that you've never even thought about. He is able to do more than we can imagine. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we're commanded by scriptures to ask God for things over and over. He says, ask. And it shall be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. If you'll ask anything in my name, Jesus said, I will do it. You have not because you ask not. And Jesus said, ask that your joy may be full. Over and over again, those words used to describe prayer in the New Testament are all-encompassing words like ask for anything, everything, whatsoever things, whensoever, whosoever. Those are limitless terms that God is talking about. God says, you get to decide how much I can bless your life, how much power can be in your life from me, how much I will strengthen you. According to your faith, Jesus said, it will be done unto you. So the question is, how much of God do we want in our lives? How much of God do you really desire in your life? How much do you want God to bless your business? How much do you want God to bless your job? How much do you want God to bless your home? How much do you want God to bless your church? How much do you want God to bless your neighborhood? You get to decide. God says, according to your faith, it will be done. And God says, pray. And that's what Jabez did. He asked God. He prayed for God's strength in his life. And Jeremiah 33:3 says, God says, call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. You cannot out-ask God. You cannot outdream God. And that is one thing that is impossible. It stretches your imagination, and God can go farther than that. And the greatest limitation on our lives is our own attitude. How much do we want to believe God? And so Jabez prays for the strength of God in his life. The second thing about Jabez's prayer is Jabez prayed that God would be with him. You see that in verse 10. He said, I want you to bless me. I want you to enlarge my territory. And let your hand be with me. God, I want you to be with me. I want not only your strength in my life, but I want you to. I need you. And unless you go with me, I don't want to go. God, I want your presence with me at work, in my life, in my family. I want you to be with me. Why? Well, Jabez needed this because the more territory you have, the more real estate you have, the more things that God places in your life, the more responsibility you have. And so we need the presence of God in our lives as he begins to answer those prayers for us. It means that you have more borders to defend. With growth comes additional pressure, and with success comes additional problems. You have problems when you're successful. You just have different ones. You have bigger ones because you have more responsibility. The larger your influence, the more enemies that are going to envy you, the closer you get to Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, the devil never bothers me. Well, you're not very close to Jesus then. Because the closer you get to Jesus, the more the devil will try to hassle you. And some have the idea, if I could just get to a certain level of spiritual maturity, then I'd no longer be tempted. And we look at people like Billy Graham, and we look at people like Charles Stanley and others, and we say, well, if I could just attain that kind of spiritual maturity, the devil would never tempt me anymore. Well, you're dead wrong. The closer you get to Jesus Christ, the more problems you're going to have, the more the devil wants to mess you up. You know, it's not hard to be a Christian. It's impossible. It's impossible on your own. The only way you and I can live the Christian life is with the power, the presence of Jesus Christ in our life. The Christian life is not for weak-kneed people. It's for people who are willing to make a commitment and to stick by it. You ever heard the phrase, the devil made me do it? Have you ever said that? Well, the devil made me do that. The fact is, the devil doesn't have to mess with a lot of us. Because we're already caught up in our own habits and the works of the flesh, the devil doesn't have to bother with us. We can make enough of a mess of our lives on our own. On top of that, do you think when you sin, the devil would come personally and waste his energy on you? That's pretty presumptuous. I bet the devil spends most of his time on the big guns in Christianity. He sends his general demons, the head of the army, after them. He just sends a little corporal or a private demon. Sometimes he doesn't even have to send that. We're just pushovers. But the fact is, we make so many mistakes on our own, the devil doesn't have to worry about us. And the closer you get to Jesus, the greater the warfare. If you don't know that this Christian life is a warfare, you are not very close to Jesus. It is a conflict. So you need God's strength, and you need God's presence in your life. And the third thing that Jabez prayed for is for God to keep him from harm. He said, Lord, let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Pain. That just reminded him, his name just reminded him of rejection. He said, Lord, I want your safety in my life. Keep me from harm. Why? Again, because the bigger you get for Jesus, the more critics you're going to have, the more people will be against you. And Jabez knew that with God's strength and God's presence and God's safety, he didn't need to fear anything. And when you combine the powerful forces of a big dream and a building faith, an increasing faith, and a developing extraordinary prayer life, you can be sure that you will stand out in a crowd. You will be an extraordinary person. You will live in an extraordinary life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how would you evaluate your life this morning? What would you say about where your life is with Jesus right now? Is it an ordinary, just kind of a drifting kind of life, an existing kind of life? Wouldn't you like to begin that kind of life, that extraordinary life that God meant for you to live, in spite of those people who may have labeled you early in your life, the kind of life that God, from the very beginning of the foundation of the world, intended for you to live? Which of those elements that we've talked about in the life of Jabez are active in your life today? I say, well, I don't know. Well, spend some time alone with God. Find a quiet place and get a glimpse of what God wants you to do in your life. And the most fulfilling ambition in life is to do God's will for His glory. And nothing is more important than knowing and doing the will of God. And you say, one of the most frustrating things in my life is to be able to find the will of God. How do I find the will of God? Ask Him. He'll show you. He'll lead you. If you will sincerely say, God, I want to be in the center of the will and your will in my life. You know, ambition out of control is the most destructive thing in the universe. Think about this. Ambition out of control produces Hitlers and Osama bin Ladens. But ambition under the control of the Holy Spirit is the most dynamic force in the world. You and I need an increasing ambition, an increasing faith in Jesus. Do you have that kind of faith? You say, I wish I had more faith. I wish I could believe more. There's only one way to grow in your faith. Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God, believing the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, and resting in the Word of God. That's why we have Bible studies here at Big Spring Baptist Church. Most of those Bible studies are called Sunday school. That's why we have Sunday morning, so that we can learn more about the Word of God and apply it to our lives. And say, God, would you do that in my life? That's why we have Sunday night. That's why we have Wednesday night. That's why we have the type of Bible studies that we have and the type of services that we have. And so that our faith can grow in God. And so what we need to do is we need to get in the Bible if we want our faith to grow. The more you read it, the more you hear it, the more you memorize it, the more you think about it, the more you do it, the more you go to Bible studies, the more your faith will increase and increase. You believe God, that He wants to work in your life, and you believe that He can solve your problems, and you believe that He can do things you never thought He could do. And then you need to develop an extraordinary prayer life. And some of you have been listening to that message by Jim Zimbala, "My house shall be called a house prayer." And when we come together as the people of God, the main thing needs to be an extraordinary prayer life for each individual and for our church. That's what God wants to do. He will do extraordinary things through ordinary people if we'll just trust Him and believe in Him and pray and ask Him to do it. Maybe you're here this morning. I don't know your heart. God knows your heart. You could even be a church member. But you've never started a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where you need to begin. That's where it starts. Maybe you've been going to church for a long, long time, and you've known about Jesus Christ for a long, long time, but you've never said, Jesus Christ, would you put your spirit in me so that my spirit, which is dead without you, the Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sin without Jesus Christ. But God created us in His image, and what that means is He gave you the capacity so that when He puts His spirit in your spirit becomes alive. And what you say is just real simple. Jesus, put your spirit in me so that I can be alive in Christ. I need your presence. I need your strength. I need your help. Jesus Christ, come into my life. That's all you need to say. God, come into my life. Jesus, come into my life. Help me, strengthen me, save me. Lord, strengthen me. Help me to trust you. Give me the Spirit's power in my life. I know I can't do it on my own. I know I'm bound to fail and fall on my face and make mistakes and look silly, but give me your strength to be the kind of person I want to be and the kind of person you designed me to be, the kind of person you want me to be, God. Then you say, Lord, protect me. Lord, pray. I want to pray. I want to ask you. God, I want to relax in you. You know, that's how you live an extraordinary life. It begins with Jesus. Jabez made it. And out of 600 names, he gets honorable mention. Wouldn't you like God to be able to say that about you? You didn't make it into Hebrews 11, but you made it to honorable mention. That would be wonderful. To come to that place just where God would say when you stand before God, and every single one of us here in this place, every single person on the face of the earth will stand before Jesus Christ. And if you have invited Him into your life, and if you have followed Him and put your faith and your trust in Him, Jesus is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's enough. That is enough. We're going to ask those who are going to pray today to come to the altar and begin to pray. God speaking to your heart, I want to ask everyone to stand right now. God's spoken to your heart, and maybe you just don't know for sure if you've ever trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You can do that today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't even have to wait till this afternoon. You can come right now and trust Him and say, and right where you're at, you can say, Jesus, come into my life. I trust you. But you can also come and tell us about that. The angels will be rejoicing. There will be rejoicing in the presence of the angels in heaven when you do that. But we also want to rejoice with you as well. You come as we sing our invitation song.
Stood before creation. Eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion. My soul now stands. You stood before.